Andrew, can you explain to me what's the issue at hand? What are you trying to do here?
At WWF and with a coalition of NGOs, we've submitted an information paper to the IMO, which outlines the spill risk and the emission impact associated with the use of heavy fuel oil, which in the Arctic, which is used by our estimates or by one study that DNV has done, about 75% per by volume of shipping in the Arctic uses heavy fuel oils.
And why is that? Why do they use heavy fuel as opposed to diesel?
I think it's been a traditional fuel that is, by and large, much cheaper than the alternatives of diesel or LNG. The supply of HFO is also global, and it's readily available. So it's mainly an economic issue. There is an associated technical issue around ship engines and ship design, but many ships that use HFO can also use diesel, so that's not as much of a barrier to using these alternatives, but it's mainly economic, it's mainly price, it's cheaper.
Now, it might sound like an obvious question, but why ban the heavy fuels? What's the environmental impact of heavy fuel spill in the Arctic as opposed to a diesel spill?
Right. There are two aspects. There are air emissions associated with the use of heavy fuels, and there is a spill risk. And so HFO is unique when it's accidentally spilled into the marine environment in that it emulsifies on the ocean surface. And that emulsification is like a mayonnaise, which stays on the surface for many days, weeks, some people say months, and is extremely difficult to clean up. So marine mammals that frequent the surface, like whales, seabirds, polar bears, seals, are particularly affected, especially furred animals, or feathered animals, where this emulsified mayonnaise sticks to their fur and causes hypothermia and death. So it's a real threat from a spill perspective if that were to happen. On the emission side, HFO, by far, of any of the fuels, produces the most soot, the most black carbon, the most particulate matter, the most nitrous oxide, the most sulfur oxide of any fuel. That's harmful to human health. It also increases or decreases the albedo effect in the Arctic. When this black soot is on the surface of snow, it decreases the ability of that snow to reflect heat. And so more heat is absorbed, more melting occurs, more climate change occurs. So there's compounding impacts and risks associated with the use of heavy fuel oils in the Arctic.
So what are you, what's your next step? You are presenting a paper on Wednesday?
Yes, the paper that we've submitted to the IMO, which is being presented on Wednesday afternoon or Thursday morning, depending on the agenda, outlines the impacts, what I've just outlined, of related to emissions, air emissions, and the spill risk, the emulsification in the marine environment. And what we're looking for is support from national countries around the globe to put this issue on the agenda of the next Marine Environment Protection Committee meeting and develop a work plan, which eventually will put in place mitigation measures, which could include the banning of the use of HFO in the Arctic. So right now we're raising awareness about the issue and looking for country support, and the next meeting in October is when we hope a work plan will be developed for the eventual phase-out of the use of heavy fuels in the Arctic.
What kind of support on the political side do you have from? Have you heard from any national governments? Do you know anybody who will be, openly supporting you at this?
It's yet to be seen. This is where we have to wait until Wednesday, until countries are given the opportunity to voice their opinions in plenary. That's how the IMO works. And, you know, between now and then, NGOs are in the corridors talking to representatives from industry, talking to government representatives, and making our case for a study to be undertaken in the fall at the next meeting, which we hope will lead to a banning of the use of heavy fuels in the Arctic.
Now, we recently had a meeting between President Barack Obama and Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau, where Arctic and Arctic environment featured very strongly. What do you expect, or what do you want to hear from them?
That statement was very positive. Shipping had three or four paragraphs, one to do with environmentally or low-impact shipping corridors, which is very positive, a good step. And the other was to deal with the risks associated with heavy fuel oil and black carbon. So we see this IMO meeting as the first opportunity, kind of public opportunity, after that statement, to show progress. And so we're looking to Wednesday for not only the U.S. and Canada, but for other countries. But in relation to the Trudeau Obama statement, we feel it'll be a good opportunity to show some progress on that announcement, which was made by Trudeau and Obama a little while ago.
Okay. And do you know, for example, would Canada unilaterally or maybe in conjunction with the United States be able to, for example, impose a ban on heavy fuel traffic through the Northwest Passage or the Canadian Arctic Archipelago?
There are a lot of mechanisms or tools that the IMO has to deal with regional issues. There are routing issues, particularly sensitive sea areas to be avoided. For instance, Norway has banned the use of heavy fuels off of their coast, so it is possible for a member country of the IMO to take national steps. It could be possible for the U.S. and Canada to develop certain areas where HFO in our respective Arctics or Arctic, where you could have a special area status, so to speak. So a ban, like in Antarctic, is one approach. There was an amendment to MARPOL which did that, but you could have emission control areas, you could have routing measures, you could have special area status, which could also stipulate that HFO isn't to be used. So there are many tools at the IMO's disposal, as well as, national tools.